How is your prayer life? Could it be better? This is month of prayer. Every year it comes around, we spend a month talking about prayer. We encourage everybody to pray more than you've prayed before. If you've been in our church for any length of time, you'll know that is what I say every single year over and over again during this month. Pray more than you've prayed before. If you've never been in our church, it'd be brand new for you, but everybody else is going, again, Brian? Yes, again. Prayer is the kind of thing that we need to be encouraged in. We need to grab hold of. It's a vital part of our lives, but often a neglected part of our lives. James White shared last week, and he opened our month of prayer. And because I was in Toti, he did that. And he said, wow, I did it last year as well. Well, I was in Toti last year on the first week of our month of prayer. So he's the opening month of prayer guy by the looks of things. But he spoke about the truth about prayer. He spoke about reverence, loyalty, dependence, forgiveness, and trust. The question is, how did you learn to pray? Did someone teach you, or did you kind of pick it up by listening to other Christians praying? Many people learn how to pray like that. They become a Christian, they hear other prayers, and then at some point they find themselves in a difficult place. You're in a small group or a meeting, and somebody says, who would like to close in prayer? That is the question that causes most people to look at their laps. But often I'm able to catch somebody out, and then you get to pray. Maybe you've just your first prayer ever or whatever, but sometimes that's how we learn how to pray. We hear, 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 and suddenly we put on the spot and we go, well, Lord, help me. And then we pray, and that's often how people learn to pray. And many people pray something like this: dear God, please help, please give, please fix, please do. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong about asking God. But if we're honest, most of our prayers, even the mature, theologically sound, well-structured prayers, can be largely about us. Our needs, our pressures, our plans. Jesus says to his disciples, this then is how you should pray. Not what to say or what words to use, but how you should pray. His full set of instructions come in Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Before we get to give us our daily bread, we have to pass hallowed be your name. Prayer begins not with requests, but rather with alignment, rather with being in step with Almighty God. Before we ask anything, we need to be recentered or reconnected with Almighty God. Somebody said when God becomes big in prayer, our problems become smaller. Our vision for this year, Jesus first, truth always, we could add on our knees, because that's the way that we can achieve those first two things. So the verse this morning starts with our Father in heaven. Prayer begins with a relationship, our Father, not some far away, unable to connect with deity, not some reluctant ruler, but rather our Father. Sometimes we have a picture similar to the picture on the screen of God. He's king. He's on a throne. You have to have a special audience to approach him. Many people never get to speak to the king or the queen. They can't get in. But here we learn that God is our Father. It's a very different way that we approach Almighty God as his children. We don't have to seek an audience in order to get into the Holy of Holies, the chamber where God sits on his throne, but we can go to him as our Heavenly Father. You know who John Newton is, of course. He wrote that amazing hymn, Amazing Grace. He didn't begin as a pastor or hymn writer. He was actually really far away from God and far away from the church for some of his life. He became a sailor and he was a slave trader. And he was in a ship in 1748, and the ship was in a massive storm. And he thought, this was it. And he cried out to God. And he was saved. And he grew into the place of pastor and hymn writer. And then he wrote those amazing words, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But many people don't know that apart from that, he was also someone who adopted his two orphaned nieces after his brother-in-law passed away. He brought them into his home and he raised them as his own. He loved them, he cared for them, he even gave them his name. They were his own daughters to all effects. For him, adoption wasn't just a theological idea, it was something he actually lived out. And the Bible tells us something very remarkable in Romans 8:15. You received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. We are adopted by our Heavenly Father. We are his children. We take his name. We're not approaching God as some strangers, not some distant servants, but rather we are his children. Prayer begins with the greatest privilege in the universe, that right from the moment these forgiven sinners, us, we can speak to God and say, Abba, Father, Father. The wonders of prayer is that we get God, it's not that we get God's attention, it's that in Christ we have his family name. We are part of his family. We're not speaking into the air, we're speaking to our Father who is in heaven. It means intimacy and authority. It means closeness and sovereignty. If we really believe this, prayer shouldn't be something that we approach as an obligation. It should rather be a conversation between a close family member. So before we ask God to do anything this month, we need to first remember who he is and who we are in relation to him. Then we read, Hallowed be your name. We're speaking here about God's name. This is where prayer really begins. Hallowed means holy, it means honored, it means revered, it means set apart as weighty. We are praying, Father, your name is great. We're not praying, make our church impressive, make our lives easier, make our plans succeed. We are praying, your name is holy. Your name is honored. Your name is divine. This is not a place of asking, but rather a place of proclaiming. We're not saying we want God's name to be holy, but we are saying who we acknowledge God to be. His name is holy. We don't have to say, make your name holy. Rather, we're saying we acknowledge that you are holy, that you are honored. It's a statement of adoration. We know that names carry reputations. We can look at society and we can see how this works. If before 2013 I mentioned the name Oscar Pistorius, you might have thought the Blade Runner. You might have thought of overcoming, of endurance, of steadfastness. But then in 2013, his life changed when he shot his girlfriend. The court case that followed was the most watched event up until that point. Eventually, Pistorius was convicted of murder and sent to prison. Almost overnight, the name that had once represented hope and inspiration now spoke about tragedy and disgrace. His name hadn't changed. But what people associated with his name had. Psalm 9 verse 10 says, those who know your name trust in you. When we pray, hallowed be your name, we are reminding ourselves who God is. We need to do this. We need to remind ourselves God is holy, God is awesome, God is all-powerful, God is all-knowing, God is almighty. We need to remind ourselves of these things. We are stating how we see God. It's a solid proclamation. Someone said, revival does not begin with excitement. It begins with exaltation. Here we are exalting God's name. So we start with God's name. Hallowed be your name. And then we move to your kingdom come. God's name, God's kingdom. Kingdoms have rulers. When we pray your kingdom come, we are saying rule here, rule now, rule in my thoughts, rule in my schedule, rule in my finances, rule in our church, rule in my life. We are not asking anything for ourselves yet. We're not asking anything for ourselves. We're asking that God's divine will and way be manifest now. When a new government takes power, policies change. When Christ's kingdom comes, priorities change. Comfort is no longer king. Reputation is no longer king. Control is no longer king. Jesus is now king. This is what we mean when we say Jesus first. We're acknowledging that he is king of our lives, that his kingdom has come. Not Jesus helpful or Jesus included or Jesus as an additional add-on when things get really sticky. Jesus first. Jesus is the one who reigns. If his kingdom truly came, then forgiveness would increase. Integrity would deepen. Hidden sin would be confronted. Compassion would expand. Prayer is not asking God to bless our kingdom. It is surrendering to his kingdom. So we started with God's name. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We moved on to God's kingdom. Your kingdom come. And then we get to your will be done. God's name, God's kingdom, God's will. This is a difficult line in the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes we struggle with your will. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours. We're still not at the place in the prayer where we're asking anything for ourselves. Please realize that. We are still focused on God's position and where we are in relation to God. We are subordinate to him. If we're honest, it would be easier for us to pray, let my will be done. But unfortunately, that's not the case. We're submitting to what God wants, to what his will is for us and for the world. Have you ever held something incredibly tightly in your hand? Often this happens with younger children, and then you have to slowly open their hand to get something out. It's more tragic when it's a banana. But moving along. This is what prayer does. It unclenches us. It says, even if the answer is difficult, even if your timing is not my timing, even if the path is costly or difficult, your will be done. Prayer is not bending heaven to our will. It's bending our will to heaven. What is God's will? So before we get to give us today our daily bread, we acknowledge who God is. We learn that we should worship him. We should surrender to him. We should align our lives to him. So before we move on in our month of prayer, we're going to do that now together. We're not asking for anything yet. But let's spend some time in prayer now realigning ourselves with Almighty God. So let's pray together. And as we pray, I'm going to end with corporate prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And if you're unsure what that is, the words will be on the screen when we get there. The words are on the screen for when we get there. Let's pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we pray this morning, hallowed be your name. Father, we begin not with our needs, but with your glory. Let's together, in our hearts, tell the Lord that we want his name to be honored in our lives. Take a moment to do that now. Lord, make your name weighty in this church. In our worship, we proclaim you are holy. In our conversations, we say, hallowed be your name. In our leadership, we will proclaim you as great. In our witness in Hillcrest and beyond, we will show you as Lord. We proclaim your name is holy. We also pray this morning, your kingdom come. Now we pray for God's rule. In the quiet of our hearts, let's surrender again those areas where we know we resist his authority. Take a moment to do that now. Lord Jesus, reign in us. Reign in our marriages. Reign in our parenting. Reign in our work. Reign in our congregation. Reign in our lives. We also pray, your will be done. Now we surrender control. In the silence, let's place before the Lord something we are anxious about or worried about or something that is bigger than we are. And now release it. Take a moment to do that. Father, not our will, but yours. In joy and in suffering, in clarity and in uncertainty, shape us into a people who trust you. And now let us pray those words that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.